This is the third and final in the topic of Eliyahu and the personality thereof. Eliyahu does not go off in the fiery chariot for many parakim. He doesn't actually end up going until Melachim Beis.
Right.
But in fact, in terms of what I'd like to bring out, this is all what we really need. I encourage people to read on. Navi's a good thing. Okay, so what happened was, let's just refresher from last time. Jezebel was killing all the Nevi'im. Eventually Hashem says, okay, it's time for you to go to Achav and explain to Achav that it will rain. They go to Har Carmel. They have this great
event.
They have a great cage match between Eliyahu and the hundreds of Nevi'im of Avodah Zarah. And eventually we end up with the rain coming, people being convinced of God being correct, wiping out the Nevi'i Abal. And with that, Eliyahu escorts Achav back to Shomron through the rain. Now, what the first thing's going to happen, obviously, is that Achav's going to have a few words with his wife and tell her what happened. Jezebel, unfortunately, couldn't make it that day. It was the Nordstrom sale. She had other things to do.
Shoes.
Right. So, Vayagid Achav Jezebel, Eis Kol Asher Osa Eliyahu, Eis Kol Asher Hara, I guess, Kol Nevi'im Bechorev. So you're not going to believe what I did today. I went to Har Carmel. It's an unbelievable thing between Eliyahu and the Nevi'i Baal. In the end, all of your Nevi'im got killed, and the people all say they follow Eliyahu and his God.
Are you starting at
19,
by the way?
19:1 we are up to.
She wasn't too pleased about it.
In fact, Pasuk Beis, Tishrach Jezebel Malach El Eliyahu Lemar, Ko Yasun Elohim V'Ko Yosifun, Ki Ke'es Machar Esimes Nashcha K'nefesh Achad Mehem. She sends a message and she says, I hope you're happy because tomorrow you're going the way of the Nevi'i Abal. Now, just not related to Eliyahu, but an important note, this is, happens to be something in the plus column for Jezebel. So if you look at the Medrash Shmuel, the comments on this, in number one, Rabbi Yehuda Barab Simon, Afilo Keroim Lo Asisim, that we're not even like the bad people. Jezebel Bas Kormimi. Jezebel was not Jewish. She was the descendant of priest Avodah Zarah. He mashrachas v'mesriyot ke'is machar asim es nashra k'nefesh achad mehem. Tomorrow you're going to get it. What does she do by saying tomorrow you're going to get it? Posachas lo pesach she'ivroch. She gave him a warning that he could run. Right? If she was really, really, really that bad of a person, she would have just gone and killed him. The fact that she says, tomorrow I'm going to get you, she gave him a warning, that was actually seen as something that was nice.
Do we think that her husband knows or not? It's just her thing.
Oh, he probably knows.
Okay.
He's not the greatest guy ever.
Well, I know that part, but...
Gimel vayar vayokam vayelchal nasho vayavo ber sheva sheva Yehuda vayanach es na'arosham. So with that, Eliyahu takes off. He heads to Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva, we know the map of Israel is in the south, in the Negev. It's in the south. Is it part of Shomron or is it part of Yehuda? It's part of Yehuda. So therefore, this is beyond the reach, it would seem. He's in the other kingdom now. Eliyahu, he's wandering through the desert. He sits under a tree and he says, you know what? I've really had enough of this. You know, I've been on the run long enough. God, can you do me a favor? Take away my life. Anybody else in Tanakh ever pull this? Sit under a tree? Yonah. Excellent, right? Just. Because Jezebel sent a message she's going to kill him.
His life is in
danger.
No.
You wasn't going to kill Achav. Okay, that's what he says. Listen, I've had enough of this already. Eliyahu says, you know, I'm always on the run. I'm always by my... It's good nook shine. Of course, Eliyahu spoke Yiddish. Vayishka vayishan tachas rotem echos v'nei zeh malach nogeba v'yomro kum echol. He falls asleep and an angel comes, taps him on the shoulder and says, go get yourself something to eat. Vayabed v'neim rasher sof ugas ritzafim v'tzapachas mayim v'yochol v'yesh v'yosha v'yishkav. And there's food and there's drink, and he eats and he drinks, and then he lies down again, goes back to sleep. V'yoshav malach adnoi she'nis v'yigar bo v'yomar kum echol ki rab mimcha aderach. So he wakes up and says, no, you didn't eat enough. You have to eat more. You've got a long journey ahead of you. Vayakum vayochal vayishte vayerach bekoach haachira hi arba im yom va'arbim laila ad har Elohim chorev. So he eats, and with that he walks straight for 40 days until he gets to Chorev, also known as Har Sinai. Vayavo sham el ha-me'ara vayolan sham v'hinei dvar Adonai elav vayomar malacha polio. So here he is at Har Sinai. He's in a cave, and God says to him, Elio, what brings you here? Vayomer kano ki nesi radonoi elohi tzvaos, ki ozu brischa b'nei Yisrael, as mizchosecha harasu ves neviecha harogu becharav v'ivaser ani levadi v'ivakshos nazir kavto. He said, God, I was jealous for you. Kano kinesi. Where else do we have those words in? Who else do we say that about in Tanakh?
Pinchas.
Right? Just like Pinchas, who I might be, according to some opinions, he said that, you know, I have been jealous for the sake of God. The Jews have forsaken the covenant. They have destroyed your altars. They have killed your prophets. And I alone am left. And now they want to kill me as well. Vayomer tseva mata bahar lifnei Adonai v'hinei Adonai over v'ruach gedola v'chazak mifarek harim u'mishaber sra'im lifnei Adonai o beruach Adonai v'acha haruach rash v'lo berash Adonai. So come outside. There's going to be a tremendous wind. A huge wind. But God is not in the wind. Then there'll be an earthquake. But God is not in the earthquake. V'acha harash esh, lo be'esh Adonai. V'acha esh kol d'mama daka. Then there'll be a great fire, and God is not to be found in the fire, and then there'll be a very soft voice. V'ahi k'shmo Elio, v'yoret pono v'adarto, v'yetze v'amo pesach mara v'inei lov kol, v'yomar malach apolio. So he goes to this cave, to the front of the cage, he covers his face with his cloak, and again, after this, God says, so now tell me, Elio, what brings you here? Vayomer, kano ki nesi Adonai Elohei Tzvaos, ki ozu v'rischa u'bnei Yisrael ves mechuchosecha harasu ves neviecha harogu v'echara v'yivosar ani levadi v'yivakshu es nafshi l'kachto. Almost word for word, this same comment. Turns around and says, God, the Jews have turned their back on you. They've destroyed they have forsaken the covenants. They've destroyed the altars. They've killed the Nevi'im. And now let me be straight here, God. I want you to take my life. I don't want to do this anymore. Vayomer Adonai Elav, Lech Shuv Redakucha Midbara Damesek, Uvasa Mashachtes Chazal Melech Al Aram. Okay, fine. Have it your way. I got one or two things for you to do, and then you're free. The question here is obvious. The question is, what in the world's going on here? It's probably not, you know, while we translated the words, there's not one bit that we've understood yet. Why is he walking 40 days in the desert? What is this magical food that he's eating beforehand? Right? Why does he have to go walk from why does he go from Beersheva to Mount Sinai? When Mount Sinai, what's this conversation he's having with God? Right? Why is God asking him what's going on here? What type of answer is it that he's giving God when he's saying that, you know, I just want to die? How does God try to change his mind by showing him earth, wind, and fire? And how come he is not impressed by this, and why does God give up at that point? But besides that, I think we understood everything. Right?
So also, they're going back via Damascus. That's
what?
Pretty far north.
Well, from here he's being sent to Damascus.
Right.
Right, which is not exactly a hop, skip, and
exactly.
jump at that point.
It's even further than
right, and you basically have to go through the northern kingdom to get there.
Exactly.
Right? But you know, these are all the minor issues. I'm just trying to understand what happened in almost the entirety of this parak. There's not one bit that's understood. The first thing to focus on is an interesting fact that I think most people are unaware of. Let's take a look at the Zohar. Assume everyone's old enough to do Zohar, yeah? Nechama, we're good? Okay. Amar Rav Chiya, V'chiya L'yohu kiven li'ihu gozer v'kutcher brichu mekayim v'ihu gozer al shmaya dro achta mitra v'tolot hech dechayl ihu mi'izevel d'shar le'dekziv. He said, one second. He says, the Zohar says, let's get this Eliyahu guy straight. Eliyahu is the guy who controls God almost, right? God wanted it to rain, and Eliyahu said, can't do that. You know why? I got the keys. Right? Eliyahu is the one who forces God into doing a Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Eliyahu is a pretty powerful guy.
Why is he afraid of
Izebel? Exactly. The Zohar says, she's going to kill him? Nechtik and tug. The interesting point that he says, right away he's off and running. What's he running about? Come on, try it. Tzaddikim don't want to bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I can save myself by running away, instead of having God step in, that's what I'll do. This is not the only case in Tanakh where this happens. Kegavne, similarly, the Shmuel, the Ksiv, Echelef, Rishon, Marshal, V'Haragoni, Amalei, Eglas, Bachar, Tichach, Tiyadecha. What's that case? After Shaul is rejected as the king, God tells Shmuel, go to Yishai, make one of his sons the king. So what does Shmuel say? What's Shaul going to do when he sees that he'll kill me. I'm a married b'malchus. You know how to do that. So he says, so go take with you say you're going to bring a carbon. So why does he have to do that? God will protect him. This was God's idea. So same idea. Tzaddik could try to minimize bothering HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Eliyahu does not seem to be one for not bothering HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why do you say that? Well, it wasn't bothering him. He says, God, you don't got to make rain. I got this taken care of. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Again, this is cases of protecting. These are both cases of protecting yourself. Medrash comments, Ksiv Eliyahu kilo tov anochi me'avosai. Ubiyon ksiv tov mosi me'chayai. So the Medrash points out, like Yossi said, this is similar to Yonah. So he said, why does it say here? He says, I'm not better than my forefathers, as opposed to Yonu says, I'd rather be dead. So he says, Ela Yonu shall be nashal tsarfatis meis pam achas, v'yada sheishra menucha. Yonu was dead once already. According to the opinion that Yonu was the kid that was brought back to life. So he said, you know what? I've been dead before. I liked it much better. As opposed to Eliyahu, who hasn't tried it yet. So therefore, he can't say that. All right. The next Zohar is a well-known Zohar that no one knows that they know. So how many times a year do we get to see Eliyahu?
Pesach.
On Pesach, right? Pesach, Eliyahu slides down the chimney and he drinks the wine. Every bris. What's Eliyahu doing at all the brises?
What?
So why does Eliyahu come to the bris? Why do we have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu sitting in the basement someplace? What? So actually, it's not a plus. Going to bris every single morning, you think, oh, what a bracha, I never say tachanun. No. In fact, the Zohar says here, it's a punishment. Kisiv malucha poliyov, kisiv kano kinesi ra Hashem elokei tzvaos. Ki azu brischa b'nei Yisrael. What did he say? The Jewish people, they don't keep your bris. So God says, really? Amalei chayecha b'chol asa d'hai rishima kich kadisha yishmun levede b'saron. Antizamin taman ubupuma de osu disuel ozu, who yasu disuel makaibin. You said not you're going to have to go to every single bris from here on in, and you're going to have to get up and confirm, yes, in fact, the Jews do the bris.
God sentenced him to a life of eating lax and bagels.
Bagels and lax, that's correct. An afterlife of it.
And matzah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. These are trying times. Right? So it's a little known fact. People think that, oh, it's a great, great reward that Eliezer. No, it's because of this he was punished.
It's a big chair.
It's very interesting. So two more sources on the idea of Elio coming to the bris. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, Amolo, Malacha Polio. He says, Kano Kinesi, what are you doing here? I've been jealous on your behalf. Amar lo lo mata mekane. Said, you've been a kanoi for a long time. Kanata b'shitim al gilei arayis. First, when's the first time you were kanoi? In shitim, by the gilei arayis. When was that? In Parshas Pinchas. Shenemar Pinchas b'alazah ben Aaron ha-kohen. V'kam kinesan. Again, here you do it. Chayecha shein osim bris mila ad she'ata roa be'enecha mikan hiskinu chacham lasos kise echad mechuba l'mal chabris. Shenikar yozal mal chabris nemar u'mal chabris asher atem chafetzim. So interestingly, the Medrash supports the Zohar, but not only that, but he also throws in that they believe that Elio and Pinchas are the same person. I happened to, a while back ago, stumble upon this B'nai Yisachar, the Din of the Rebbe. It's a very interesting idea. So people don't realize this, but is there a mitzvah to go to a bris?
Yeah. Yes.
So actually, no.
That's why you don't send invitations for a bris.
Right. No, it's your, to go to bris, not to go to the suda, yeah, by the bris. Actually, to be at the bris itself, there's no reason it would seem to go there. But to go eat the food afterwards, that's the mitzvah. You don't send invitations because people might not show up at the suda.
Right? Explains a lot why people always come for the food parts.
Right. In fact, halachically, in this case, they're right.
Is that true at Pidyon HaBen as well? I mean, is it similar? Yeah.
Yeah, the idea that it's a Suda's mitzvah, that the party is what the mitzvah is, actually, unless you're actively involved in the bris, right? If you're holding or you're cutting or you're being cut, right? Unless it's one of those things, there's no real mitzvah. So the B'nai Yisachar has a very interesting medrash. It's a wonderful medrash if anyone could find it. It seems that's something that we wish was true, but there's no earlier source for this. He said, "Lishno ozen shemati sheish medrash chazal." I heard that there's a medrash. So he himself never saw this medrash, which says as follows: "Amar Eliyahu, Ribono shel Olam." So God says to Eliyahu, "You've got to go to all these brises." So Eliyahu says, "I can't go to the brises." Kim shemidasi shli mekanev lo uchal lisbochet. I can't take it when people are sinning. That's who I am. What if the father is someone who does aveiras? I won't be able to handle it. I can't go to the bris. I'll tell you what. The father of the baby gets complete kapara. I'll erase all of his sins. You won't have a problem. So, okay. Well, maybe the moel did aveiras. Also, I take away all of his averis. What about the people who came to watch? What if they're bali averis? Hashem says, every single person that comes to a bris, I'm a chaper all of his avonos, in order that you'll be able to come. So based on this, showing up at bris might not be a mitzvah, but you get all your averus wiped away. That would be wonderful. I heard there's such a medrash. Unfortunately, I've never seen it. I've not seen anybody who has seen it. So you saw another source says whoever stands next to this kisei Elio gets kapara. Right, so that's where we came up with the kibbutz. Ome keneged akisei. Right, that's by the bris. You're constantly looking to make up new kibbutzim. So someone hold the bris and hold the baby and stand next to the kisei Elio. So this is the source where it says if you do that, you get a kapara. Fiz bar manal pirashi parshas Pinchas hu Eliyahu tachshe kinei le'okav v'yichapres b'nei Yisrael. So this is the pasuk that we just read 2 weeks ago in the parsha. Tachas Hashem ki, because he was such a kanoi, v'yichapra b'nei Yisrael, and who comes gets kapara. That's a nice idea. It'd be nice if it was true. I hope it's true. But this is the only source that I know of that talks about this.
And where is this? Where did you find it?
The B'nai Yisoschar. That's number 6 on the sheet. That's a Hasidic sefer. Okay. From the din over. It's broken into months. So this is in Tishrei Maimer Dalad.
Okay.
Eliyahu Zuta. So let's try to figure out what's going on in this parak. So he shows up there and he says, listen, God, Jews have gone bad. So Kadosh Baruch Hu responds and says, no, they haven't. What are you saying about my people? You're going to go to every bris from now on. You're going to have to see with your own eyes. Number 7, Vlo Od, Eva Shef.
Yeah? Is this considered a punishment? To me, it seems like actually a big zuchus that you get to go to all these things.
So it ends up being a machokus between you and God. You think it's a good thing. God thought it was a punishment.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. I would be honored if I got to go to every bris and come up at the... We see Eliyahu as a positive. I've never seen it enough.
What? Eliyahu is a positive.
Right.
But this is it. But what we see from here, again, what we're beginning to see, which we're going to bring out in this parak, is that Eliyahu was a tremendous Eved Hashem, but the problem was the best of Nevi'im isn't just an Eved to Hashem, but he's also an Eved to B'nai Yisrael. Not only does a Navi have to look out for God's best interests, but he's also representative of the people. And Eliyahu's not getting that half done. You know, he's willing to do whatever is necessary, as it stopped the rain, you know, whatever he has to do for the glory of Hashem. But in terms of for the glory of the people, right, the fact that the people were suffering through this drought, the fact he gets up there and says to them, you know, they've gone astray, you're not supposed to be doing that, Eliyahu. You're supposed to be representing them. Now we'll see. There is one person in Tanakh who has the exact opposite problem.
He's good for the people, but bad for him.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to think of who that is?
Well, say more about how would it be the opposite?
The person's always doing whatever he can for the people without paying attention to what's really is God's will.
David, that's not who you're talking about. That's...
Excellent.
Who?
There you go. Did Jody tell you that, or you knew yourself?
I didn't hear
Yona. Why Yona?
Because he ran away.
Right. God says.
Right.
God tells him, you know, I want you to give a bad nevuah. He said, no way. I'm not going to do that to my people. Now, what's the relationship between Eliyahu and Yona? Is there a relationship? Okay. Besides their suicidal tendencies. They don't want to commit suicide. They'd like to be taken out. They're both Nevi'im. Excellent. In terms of history, are they at the same time? Which came first, Eliyahu or Yonah?
Eliyahu, if you say it's Pinchas.
Well, okay. But Eliyahu is also Eliyahu. Right. So Eliyahu actually is a contemporary of Yonah, sort of. Because we learned not long ago that Yonah was the child that Eliyahu brought back to life.
Right. We learned that too last week.
Right? Right?
That's the same kid.
So amazingly, here you have them, and they're sort of mirror images of one another. Right?
Overlapping, just in a weird way.
Right. That, you know, they're the two pieces of the puzzle where one's strong, the other is weak. So you have here Yonah. Right, who has the problem that he's going the opposite way of Eliyahu. Eliyahu is being told, listen, you don't talk this way about the people. You know, he's keep on saying, Kano kinesi, I was jealous, Hashem to God. And the people are no good. As opposed to Yonu saying, kill me, I don't care. Right? All what I care is I'm not going to get my people in trouble. There's a fellow, Yair Bachrach, who wrote a book on this topic about Eliyahu and Yonah, if anyone's interested in looking at it further.
Did they ever have any more contact after he...
So again, you got to figure it out.
Right.
But if you look at it, the two of them have that initial contact,
right.
Very important contact,
right.
And then they go in very different ways.
Right.
The Medrash says in number 7, Lo od elo she'amad v'dachol l'makom she'bikchu avosav rachmim albanav sh'nemar v'yishka v'yishan tachas rotem achad v'yokam v'yochal v'yishte v'yerech b'koch ha'chila ha'i. So he said, what's going on here? Remember, we spoke about it. He ate this food, and with that, he's able to walk for 40 days. Amar lo akosh baruch hu malacha po'ol yo'o. He says, what's going on? Ha'yiro lomar afanav ribono sh'olom b'necha heim b'nei mechunecha b'nei avram yitzhak v'yakov sh'asuch ha'ratzon ch'ba'olam. What was the right answer here? The answer is, God, what's going on here? These are your children, B'nai Yisrael. These are the children of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Right? They are the one of the avos who did your will. Well, also came, but rather than standing up for the people, Alam Rafan of Kanoki Nesir Hashem Alokei Tzvaos. Hischil Kosh Baruch Hu Dabar Imo Dabar Tanchumim. So God says, calm down a little bit. He said, let's go to Har Sinai. Come. Let's have a conversation back where the Torah came from. I want us to go there. I came here with the Malachim, I presented them with the Torah. Shema Vayomer Tseva Mata Baharif Ne Hashem. Bomer Vacha Harash Eish. Lo Be'esh Hashem. He said, remember what we had there at the time of the Torah? There was this great earthquake. Thunder and lightning. Then there was fire. It takes 3 hours. Think about this. Said, okay, you get the message, relationship, me, my people. What does Eliyahu say? Doesn't change his tune. Kano kinesir Hashem alokeitzvah kos. Ba'osim sha'omer ruach hakodesh v'aliyahu. Lech shuv v'darkecha midbar damesek. V'ez yehu ben nimshi tim shalach ha'melech al Yisrael. V'ez el isha v'rinshotab. Masha b'daitla eni yachol asos. Says, move on. I'm sorry, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take you away. But this isn't working yet. You're not getting it. Eliyahu, you're this ultimate Oved Hashem. When it comes to being a Navi, you got to be more than an Oved Hashem. You've got to not only be a representative of God, you have to be a representative of Jewish people. This is really spelled out in the Mechilta, in Parshas Bo. The Medrash says, Nimtzas atomer sholosh bonim heim. There were 3 sons. Echa tova kovar avaloch v'chovar abein. One of them took care of the father and the son. One took care of the father and not the son. One took care of the son and not took care of the father. Yirmiyahu, tava kovad ha'av v'kovad ha'bein. Yirmiyahu cared about both. Who's the av in this case? And who's the bein? B'nai Yisrael. Because what is it Yirmiyahu saying? Coming up very soon, too soon. Shenema nachnu pashanu marinu. On the one hand, says Akash Baruch Hu, we have sinned. Atah lo salachta. But on the other hand, if we sin, you're supposed to forgive. So who's Yirmiyahu representing? Both.
Both.
Yes, I admit that we've done wrong. You know, obviously, God, you deserve your respect. However,
it's your job to forgive us.
Because of that, he got to be a Navi twice as long as he was supposed to be. As it says in the middle of the year of Yirmiyah, okay, now you're going to get more. Eliyahu took care of the father, meaning Akash Baruch Hu, but not the son. He says, I'm taking care of Hashem. Uma Nemar Sham Vayomar Shem Elov Lech Shuvadakachom Midbar Damesek. V'gomer v'asiyehu v'nimshet timshach ha'melcha Yisrael v'asalisha ben shafat timshach ha'novi tachtecha she'ein tamid l'omar ha'novi tachtecha elo she'efshi ben nevoscha. He says, go, you're going to get a new Navi because you know what? You're just not getting the job done. We're going to have to let you go here. And who is the third one? As Rebbe Tzimeler correctly said, Yonah tavod kavod habein v'lo kavod av. Yonah cared about Bnei Yisrael, but he didn't care about Hashem enough. Shnema v'yakum yonah livroach. V'yakshiv ha'idvar Hashem el Yonah shein yisrei mor. So then, afterwards, God, when he comes out of the well, speaks to him a second time. What does sheinus mean? He says, here's your second, but there's not going to be a third. This is the end of your nevuah, because you're also not getting it done. Right? So that is the idea here, that ultimately that Eliyahu is the super powerful, right? Super successful, super even to a certain extent above God in certain ways, but his ultimate downfall is lacking is in that he's too much a representative of God. He's not a fair broker as a Navi is supposed to be.
And yet we see him as the greatest. I mean,
he's a big one.
Right.
We still sing about him.
Say again?
We still sing about him.
Right, but I'm saying it's more than we sing about him.
In the end of the days, he's the one who's going to usher it in.
Right, he's the big guy.
That is correct. The idea being that ultimately, when the Messianic period comes, I guess, and the Jewish people will see God and no longer be sinning, then he'll be the perfect Navi.
So, then it's easy. I mean, his job is easy at that point.
Right.
Why not pick Yonah to bring?
That's the idea. There'll come a point where that would make sense, but this is not his time. We need a representative at this point.
So I don't understand. So why is
Eliyahu on brisk? He's out of brisk because that's a punishment. That's a punishment for him.
Okay, what about Pesach?
I have no idea where the source of that actually is from. I'll be honest.
I don't understand
that. Right. What?
Three
we said three prophets there. We didn't say that there's a third time that Eliyahu. Well, Eliyahu is going to come. Hine anochi shaleach lechem es Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol ve'hanora. So what does that mean? So the Gemara assumes that means that Eliyahu will come lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol. The day before the Mashiach comes, it will be announced by Eliyahu hanavi. And he will be the one that will come down, in fact, and announce the coming of Mashiach.
So why not like Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu, who brought the prophecies of the temple?
Well, again, Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu are very different. Yirmiyahu is the one who brought the prophecies of the destruction of the temple. Yeshaya, at the beginning, is a very negative book, but at the end, he's the one who brings the prophecies of the end of days.
Right?
So it's very positive.
So why not pick him?
I'll take that up with God.
Okay. it's an odd...
It's above, it's beyond my pay grade.
I got it.
Just saying.
I think that's true.
Okay, I'll be honest. The Medrash Tanchuma in Pekudei quotes, Kvar amarta yirucho, she'al kocho notzart v'al kocho v'norata v'al kocho ato chai, v'al kocho ato osu litein din v'cheshbon. This is basically a Mishnah in Avos, which says you don't get choices in life. Right? Right now we're at the stage of life where we don't want to die. But you should know that beforehand there was a stage where you didn't want to be born. So basically what happens in life is against your will you are conceived, against your will you are born, against your will you live, then against your will you die, and against your will they schlep you before Hashem to give ultimate judgment. And in fact, the Medrash says that's what Eliyahu was being told in this case. What's this wind and what's this earthquake and what's this fire? What are you talking? What are you trying to tell me here? I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. Elohim ruach ha-gadol, v'chazak hu ha-om hazeh. The great wind is this world. Shudomer l'ruach shu over. Because this world is like wind. K'ruach over. It comes and goes. Blows through, leaves nothing. V'acha ruach rash. Acha om hazeh yom ha-misa. Shudomer l'rash ha-marish kol gufak shal adam. After you live your life, it's like an earthquake. Death comes and shakes your whole body. V'acharas eish. After a person dies, they have to go a certain period of Gehenim. And once you go through life, and you go through death, and you go through Gehenim, then is the soft voice. So according to the Medrash, what were they telling him? He said, listen, don't tell me I want to die. You don't have any say in this matter. You didn't have any say in the matter when you were conceived. You didn't have any say in the matter when you were born. You have no say in the matter when you're going to live, when you're going to die. Ultimately, listen, Eliyahu, it's not happening. Live with it. One more Medrash, number 10. He says, whenever you go and you become a servant of Hashem, you should not take things from the public. The examples are what? Moshe, Yeshaya, and Eliyahu. Moshe Omar, Shimuna Hamorim, Nemrosa Viu Asakal Hazeh. When all of a sudden, When Moshe gets upset at Mei Meriva, he says, listen, you rebellious ones, God says, you're out. Yeshaya mor betoch am t'meisva say manochi yoshev. Yeshaya says, I'm sitting among a nation of people with impure lips. Miyad ubiyado ritzva. With that, right away, Abmal comes over and burns his lips with a coal. Aloki ozu b'ischo b'is Yisrael. He turns and said, the Jews have turned away, they've abandoned the covenant. So that's it. Anybody who goes against Klal Yisrael, you're out of a job. Doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are, you're out. The last source on this I bring, not the last source on the sheet, is a fascinating one. The Radvaz lived, I believe, in the 1500s, 1600s in Egypt. He has, we actually just got donated to the library, his Tshuva Svarim. Anyone would like to borrow them? They're sitting on my desk where they've been since Shavuos. Too bad Rabbi Goldberg has left. But there's a nice sticker inside now. The Radvaz has a wide range of interesting topics. What you would never expect. So someone wrote in a question and says, what's going on in this parak?
Good question.
Right? It wasn't that my milchig spoon fell into my fleshig pot on Rosh Chodesh Av. It was, what's going on here? Shalt b'menim, im yesh lo etzli tam, lama yitriach ha-kosh baruch ha-sel yom, mahalich arbim yom, adash yabal har elokim. Why did he make him walk these 40 days until he got to Har Sinai? Here's the guy's question. Tell me, where is Har Sinai located?
In the Sinai.
In the Sinai. Let me ask a specific question. Is it inside of Israel or outside of Israel?
Outside.
How do you know it was outside? What makes you say that? What? Can you do anything better than...
There's a question either about whether Eilat was Israel. So.
I'm not asking whether Eilat.
I understand, but that's further south than Eilat, and we spoke about
it
that.
It is?
Yes.
We're not really sure where Sinai is. But yeah, it doesn't really matter because it's much more west.
Jody has a very good answer.
So Jody should say it. Jody's a big girl. There you go. That's what I was looking for. See, you don't have to give every answer to Leah.
You gave this shiur in Baltimore a few weeks ago.
What?
You gave this shiur in Baltimore.
No, I just plant the answers. So, right, Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu never went into Israel. Clearly, Har Sinai is not in Israel.
Right.
There you go. So why is he setting Galio outside of Eretz Yisrael? Isn't Nevuah supposed to be inside of Eretz Yisrael? So he's making Shrepim go 40 days, go to Har Sinai, the outside of Israel. What? Why? Not only that, but he said, oh, it's Har Sinai. Nowadays, are you allowed to go up? Can you go on the Har Abayis? Can I go on the Temple Mount?
Yeah,
no. No.
Although there's a debate about it.
Right. Definitely not this week. Right? You can't go on there. Why? The people will say you can't go on it.
Say no.
Well, besides that, there's also this issue that there's a certain amount of holiness, right? Can I go on Har Sinai?
No.
If you knew where it was.
If I knew where it was, could I go?
Jabba Musa.
No.
Yeah. I did climb Jabba Musa.
Correct. Whew. The girls in the back are hot tonight.
Right? She
said no. Once it finished, there's no more holiness left on it. So why are you shoving him to go out to this mountain that has no holiness? That's the question the guy asked. Tourist trap. There was a flood recently and the Broadmoor bought it out. It's a long story. Tshuva. Kodesh Baruch is only looking out for what's best for us. He wants us to all turn out to be good. He's hoping that the tzaddikim in the generation will pray on behalf of the generation like Avram did with Sodom. Sodom, good guys or bad guys?
Bad guys.
Bad guys. What did Avram do? Fought as hard as he could. Came up short.
He negotiated,
right? He was the art of the deal. He came that close. Didn't work out in the end. Did the right thing. Below Kasher Asa Noach. Noach hears that there's going to be a flood. What does he do? Better get myself an umbrella. What?
Big umbrella.
He built a teva.
Well, again, how many people could fit in the teva?
A lot of animals.
Oh, I got the animals in.
But he hopes that...
Right, but how many peoples?
No, but there is that measure that he did in the front yard so other people will
build their,
build their own teva.
Right, but did he pray for them? In fact, we refer to the flood as Mei Noach, the flood of Noah, because he didn't pray.
So they built Noah, Mei Noach.
That's right. With Nikras Hashmo, Eliyahu Zal, Olam Hayu Mekane. Who was Eliyahu more like? Was he more like Avraham or was he more like Noah? Like
Noah,
for sure. But how easy to measure some of the Kosh Baruch Hu, Olam Ato Mekane, Kinesa Beshitim, Al Gilei Arayis, Kinesa Al Abris, Kiv Ki Ozu Brischa Beis Yisrael, Chayecha She'en Yisrael Osem Bris, Ad She'a Taroi Yinecha. God said, stop speaking bad about them. You got to go to the Bris and see what's happening there. The fact that he says, listen, why am I living so long? That indicates that he's very old. If he was Pinchas, he would be very old. That supports it as well. Not only isn't he backing them up, what did he do? He stopped the rain. He made it worse for them. He saw that their people were dying from famine and he never prayed on their behalf. God had to step in here and say, okay, this is enough already. You got to go. Even after everyone got up and said, God is the true Lord, he didn't say, okay, look, I see potential here. He said, let me just die already. God said, come on, aren't you getting the hint here? Say something nice about them. Rama, Kilo, Rama, Zemi, Moshe, Rabbah, Shispalo, Rifne, Kama, Palmi, Ma Yisrael. after the day Yisrael made the Egel Azov, what did Moshe do? He prayed on their behalf that they should be forgiven. After the Meragim, what did he do? Prayed on their behalf every time. When Korach starts up with him, what does he do? Prays on their behalf. Pinchas was a contemporary of Moshe, correct?
No doubt about it, but at the same time, he did do acts that were, for example, zabbing, etc. He did do acts that were on the benefit of the Klal Yisrael.
Who are we talking about?
Pinchas.
What?
I'm saying by
the stabbing.
The stabbing. It was
okay, but he did that for their sake, or he did it for God's sake. He stabbed the Jew.
I think it was.
I mean, let's be honest here.
I think it was for both. I think it's both sakes.
I don't know.
He was doing an
act
that was
very rare that you stab someone. Listen, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
No, but
you can't really stand on a straight face.
Granted, it was for God, but the reality is he was also trying to.
Yeah, it's good for the Jews that God be supported in this world.
I think he was ending something that could have been a lot worse, and he was doing something on the benefit of the people, whether
right.
it was done in
the
easiest way.
Right. Yeah, he did the right thing. He's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. If I could be Eliyahu, I'd be happy with that. Mm-hmm. Right? If I was offered the position of Eliyahu, I would accept.
I don't know. He sounds pretty morose.
I would still take it.
Why?
If you see a job posting someplace, still looking for an Eliyahu around my size, my scruffy beard.
What do you admire so much about him?
You get a lot of frequent flyer miles. Brist to brist.
What
all
else?
The world.
What do you admire then about wanting to be
one of the greatest prophets of all time? I would take that.
He's going to be the guy who gets to see when Mashiach comes. It's pretty cool.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a very morose, depressed guy.
Yeah. So what we're doing here is we're saying that this is why, what's going on here. So God says to him, listen, I'm trying to hint here, right? I'm sending you a message. Hello. So far, what does he do? He didn't learn from Moshe, who several times, you know, went, even though when he was attacked, he prayed on their behalf. So God said, let me hint to this guy. Remember Moshe? Do like him. So what's he doing now? He says, I'm going to go and take him through a trip, which is basically Moshe Rabbeinu, this is your life. I'm going to go walk him.
Walk him through it.
Walk him through it. I'm going to take him to Har Sinai. 40 days and 40 nights. Get it? Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose here. What he's doing is he's trying to walk him through acts which are the same that Moshe went through. To hint him, that's what you've got to be doing here.
Wait, 40 days and 40 nights signaling the 40 years? Or 40 days and 40 nights?
That he was on, that he was up.
No, Patty got it right. The 40 days and 40 nights that he was on Har Sinai.
Oh.
Right. Not the Mabul, not the 40 years.
Right.
Therefore, you went 40 days without eating, just like Moshe went 40 days without eating. He also. And he took him to Har Sinai where this happened. And Moshe is the one who's delivering the Aseres HaDibros. Get it? He's the go-between. And what did he do with him? Belina b'Maharan, he put him in a cave. Cave? What does cave have to do with anything? Right, b'Nikra Satsur. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go, so I'm going to put you in the cave. He Nikra Satsur, Shenis Yasser, son Moshe, Vamalo. Malacha po Eliyahu, koma mihaviyacha po. Right, Moshe, Mako Moshe Rabcha. He said, "What are you doing here? What do you mean? What are you doing here? God, you told him to go here." He said, "No. Why do you think I brought you here?" Is what he's saying. Maybe he'd catch on and say, "You know what? I'm here to pay for the Jewish people." The Adarabba, Hosvama Delitoria, Ozer Brischa. Same story. Bnei Yisrael as Mizmivchesa. They destroyed your altars, indicating that instead, what altars are they using? Idolatry.
Right.
You're still not getting it. Save Amata Baharif Ne Hashem, Kasher Amar Moshe, Hine Mokomiti Vinikrasa Nitzavta Aratur, Visam Ticha Vinikrasa Tzur. He Amara Hare of Rimud Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. What happened there? God taught him, this is how you pray. Hashem, Hashem, Karachum Vachanan. This is where Moshe learned how to pray. Get it? Just say these words. That's what he's supposed to remember. He had a great wind, the Midrash Amalei. When the great wind comes out, God goes and he puts it behind the mountains. Why? To protect the people. God, whenever there is an earthquake, whenever there's fire, he tries to protect the people. God says, there's a lot of ways I can punish the people. But I'd rather have somebody pray. Instead of having to go through this great destruction, how about a little bit of a soft voice? How about some prayer? Waited for 3 days. I die in Amar Bidvar. He just didn't get it. Bidvar Harishonim. Amar Kanoki Nasi. Kevin Shirak Kosh Bachu Shadain Humakane. Amaro Ainzaroy Ramud Baorim. Amaro Vasarisa Timshach Navi. So that's it. Sorry. If you're not going to catch the hint now, this isn't going to work. Kevin Shirak Kosh Bachu, forget it. So what am I going to do? To kill him, I can't do. But Pinchas says, "V'nasati brisi sholom." That means he can live forever. I can't leave him here, though. He's going to be nothing. He'll be bad news for the Jews if I leave Eliyahu here. So he took him in the fiery chariot and he brought him upstairs. So he's not dead, but he's not on the earth either.
Is this before or after Damascus?
This is after Damascus. Okay. So the question he says is, so why didn't he ever do that? Why didn't he pray on their behalf? He thought, listen, they're so bad, this is never going to work. There were a lot of good people still in the world at that point. He should have prayed. Had he prayed, he would have saved a lot of people. So this is very important. It's important we bring it down here to understand who is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is this tremendous Navi who, however, is totally a representative of God, and he's not, and God is upset about that. And it's interesting that the person that he brings back to life, the pendulum swings all the other way. You have Yonah, who's the total representative of Bnei Yisrael, which is why we read it on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, whoever put in a good word for us, we'd be happy to have him step up. Thank you very much.
So,
by all means.
When you say, okay, he was over there, sir, whatever, but why is he given the new rule? To help, you know, to give the new rule to Bnei Yisrael. And so I don't understand. So
not all Nevuahs are happy Nevuahs. In fact, most of them aren't.
But it's more than that.
Why is he given that job as to be a Navi?
But he was worthy.
What?
He was a great man. Again, we're not here to belittle Eliyahu in any way.
What is he thinking? He's given a
Nebuah. He thinks he's a representative of God. It's not a crazy idea.
He is a representative of God, but he doesn't seem to be a very good representative.
But he doesn't understand what God wants is for him also to take the side of the people.
And he never gets it. And he shows him all kinds of ways and he doesn't get it. But meanwhile, he gets this honor.
He never does, right? Again, bris isn't an honor.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking
about the time, again, he's
announcing
Mashiach. He's the Navi who never dies. Right? Again, he was Pinchas. He did great things, assuming that he's Pinchas. Right? He was given a very long life, shall we say.
Is that a punishment?
No. Not
to
at
live
all.
Forever, is that a punishment?
This isn't about tuck everlasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think that.
Okay, just putting that out there.
Okay.
So that's the story here. So ultimately, but Eliyahu is, we know so little about Eliyahu. There are people out there who actually thought that Eliyahu was just like an invisible man before we started this. If you could imagine such a thing. Right? But no, Eliyahu was in many ways the greatest of Nevi'im, and there's a lot more to say about him, but just getting these three prakim really gave us the idea of who he is when you learn it in depth.
Well,
well, right now, let's figure it out. If it's 10 o'clock here, so where is there a bris? Where is there a bris? Right, it's probably getting ready. In Eretz Yisrael, the bris, it's probably, right? In Eretz Yisrael right now, it's what, like 7
a.m.?
7 a.m., right? It's probably the bris. He's probably busy in Yerushalayim right now with the brisim.
Yeah, he's in the Inbali. He's in
right, he's with Yosela.
Yeah.
He's with Yosela the mile.
What comes is bris?
So again, there's a lot to talk about. It. If there's nine people in him, you don't have a minion.
24 hours a day, he's attending.
He's
retired. Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Shakespeare's amazing is what?
What? He's changed his name. It's not a hard thing. It's like the same way Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali.
Oh.
Same exact story. People confuse him all the time.
They look alike.
What? She wanted to kill him. Because she was not a nice person. She was a Jezebel.
Who was she married?
Ahab. Not the one from Moby Dick, the other one.
Ahab.
not that one either. I wasn't familiar.
The Jews killed all the priests of Baal.
Oh.
And so.
Was that. Then she was a Baal fanatic.
Exactly.
Right. She's a big supporter of the Baal movement. You know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what
okay,
you mean.
I got it.
The Gemara tells us that in general we don't make fun of things, with the exception being Avodah Zarah. So it's a mitzvah to say that they were the Baal movement. Let's just finish up the parak. The Tazayin Vesyehu ben Nimshi Timshach Melech Al Yisrael Veselisha ben Shafat Meivol Macholot Timshach Navi Tavtecha. You're going to go. You're going to make a new king on Yisrael, meaning that this is the king who's going to take over for Ahab. And you're also going to go and you're going to get a new fellow to be the Navi, Elisha. He's going to take over for you because you're out of a job. And in fact, this isn't going to turn out good, as we saw, because you didn't pray.
It doesn't turn out good for you.
No, it's not going to turn out good for the Jews.
Oh.
Bad news for Jews. V'haya ha'nimot mecherev chazal yamis yehu, v'hanimot mecherev yehu yamis Elisha. The people will be killed by this fellow who you are making, the king of Damascus, right? Chazael, he's going to kill a lot of Jews. And whoever survives that, he's going to be killed by the king that you're going to make, Yehu. And whoever survives that's going to get killed by Elisha. All these people that you are appointing is ultimately going to be bad. Bishati b'Yisrael shiva salafim kol abirkayim shalom kol rabal v'chol per shalom nashakom. And then that what all will be left of all the Jews in the northern kingdom will be 7,000 souls. Just like you wanted. Only the people who weren't idol worshippers. And Elisha at the time was working the family farm. He had 12 furrows to make. He was up to number 12. Eliyahu goes and covers him with his cloak. Mantle, it's a good word. Vayazav es habakar, vayorat zachari Eliyahu, vayoma eshkar nol aviv liyimu, vayelcha acharech, vayoma lo lech shuv kimeh asisirach. He says, let me just go kiss my mom and dad goodbye, and I'm joining you. I said, why not? Vayoshad me'achar v'yikach hatzemet habakar v'yizbecheyu b'kli habakar bishlo habasar v'yitim l'om v'yocher v'yakam v'yach achri Eliyahu v'yishoseyu. He takes the ox that was pulling the plow. That's why I couldn't come up with the word, because it is the word, right? Slaughters the ox, cooks it all with the wood of the plow, and gives out the food to the poor people, indicating that I am signing up for this and I am never turning back.
Wait, I said he had 12 cows.
No, he had 12 furrows. Did not have 12 cows.
Sounds like only one.
Furrows is what Jose has, each of those lines. No, it wasn't the Ashkenazi way of saying par. Two quick sources about this that we'll call it night. The Medrash says, this relates a little bit to what we said on Shabbos, Chaviva hi ha-malacha. Work is a good thing. When does he become a Navi? When he's actually working the fields. He has a job. I don't want to stop you. You keep on doing your job. Eliyahu Rabba comes with Mazak Elisha Shechoy Yushnei Mason Al Yado. Why does Elisha do Trias and Mason twice ultimately? Eliyahu only does it once. Each nation, Otzer Rasona Shomisha Omer Vahoy Olam, because he did what God wanted. The nine said, Eloch Shekane. Emer Ruach Hakosh Eliyahu, Lech Shuva Dakacha Midbar Damesak. Ves Yehu Bed Nimshi Timshach Hamelach Al Yisrael, Ves Elisha Timshach Hanavi Tachtecha. He goes, gets the word, Vayach Misham Vayimza Tzarish Ben Shofet Me'eva Mechola. He finds him. Shokobo Malachto Shemasad Smadim Lefanov. Vayavar Eliyahu Vayishach Hadar Torotov Vyad Heniach Es Kol Asherov Vayar Tzacharov. Right there and there he drops everything and runs after him. Shnema Vayazo Ves HaBokar. Yad Hifki Des Kol Asherov Vizor Es Kol Asadem Melech. Gave away everything he owned and he plowed salt into the fields. Shnema Vayasha Me'achar Vayikach Es Tzemet Bokar Vizbecheu. Vayramdeu Ro Nemar Ela Vayishor Seyu Mikan Omar Gedola Shimusha Yosmi Limuda. He went all in on this.
So why did you ruin the land?
That's to indicate I'm never coming back. I'm never coming back to this job.
Right.
This is it. That's it. He's making an indication that I'm giving it all away. I need nothing else. Okay. So with that, we are finishing our discussion of Eliyahu. There's a lot more to be said and learn about Eliyahu. Everyone is encouraged to read on their own.
So who's next week?
We'll have to wait till next week to find out.